afternoon. Today is Monday, May the 20th, 138th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the bank dude, John Dalby. Hey, guy.
Brian, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to be where really you here. Are. Yeah. It's. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
You sure you didn't want to? Your Baker's Dozen's not going to work.
No, it's not.
No. Okay. And they probably never passed me off as your kid.
Yeah, so what Brian's referring to is today I'm actually not in the studio. We pre-recorded this because I have my four-year-old granddaughter in Disneyland.
With her escorts.
Yes, there's only nine other escorts.
Yeah. She's well protected. This afternoon, we got a couple different things to talk about. We'll get an update about the Arcata branch, some of the things that are going on there as we're getting closer and closer to the doors opening. You don't do a ribbon cutting, do you do a door opening?
We will do something, yes.
Okay. A food opportunity for the local media.
There will be free food for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. Exactly. Tough to talk about it even now. we got the earnings release that came out last week and a half ago, mm-hmm. something like that we can talk about. And more changes going on in the local banking scene. So we'll talk about that as well when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, sir. You're not going to slide it over. You got it now. It's all you.
Let's see. This is a proverb found in many cultures. Procrastination is the thief of time.
Yeah, I've heard people give me references to contemplation, debilitation, just because it rhymes a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I suppose that's a little bit of a challenge. I mean, you tend to be somebody who wants to get a sense of as much of the detail as you can before you make a decision. At what point do you go, okay, I got enough?
You know, that's always a challenge because anytime you're making significant decisions, whether it's in your life, whether it's in your business, you really want to get all the information you can and get as many competent opinions as possible before you make that decision. Yet a lot of what leadership is, whether it's in the boardroom or in the garage or in the house, a lot of times leadership has to make decisions with incomplete information, and trying to make the best decision possible in those scenarios is the challenge.
I thought you were going to say stable. What end of the horse?
Yeah.
That was the reference. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chose not to though, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So how do you get to that point? Obviously, if you've been doing something for a period of time, you can rely on experience, gut, intuition, whatever phrase is a working phrase for you. That makes sense. But if you haven't been down this road before, let's say you're a new business operator, and here comes the first really, 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 really big order. Uh-oh, what do I do now? You know, like that one TV ad, right? They put it on the internet. Ting, 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 ting. Oh, no. You come to that, or your first hire, or your first fire, your first expansion, your first contraction. How do you know when you have enough information to make the decision?
I don't think you ever will, to be quite honest. I mean, you can always ask for more information. You can always get more opinions, and you can always do more research. But you don't want to totally shut down the process because you want so much information that you're basically putting off a decision. Always asking for more information. And I've had a boss like that where there would be a decision such as should we give $100 to this charity, and we'll bring me back more information. Sorry, it's a $100 decision. Let's just make one.
How much
and
time
move
is
on.
This worth?
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you got to be really, really careful of what they call paralysis by analysis. At the same time, moving forward without doing your due diligence can be very, very disastrous. So whenever I'm looking at something, doing something I've never done before, I try and find somebody who's done it before. And ask them, what are the pros, what are the cons, what should I look out for, and that way you get an idea of what works, what doesn't work, and a lot of times you can save yourself time by learning from the mistakes other people have made. At the same time, as you listen to them, oftentimes I come up with a new twist to enhance what they did before. Now I've got to do my research to make sure that whatever I'm doing here doesn't offset the good from the original idea. So
you avoid the mud puddle that they right. would have stepped in, but you get caught by the sword that they were missed by. Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing how many people I've talked to have made just huge blunders in their business decisions because they didn't take the time to understand or talk to people who've done it already.
It's amazing how often sometimes the obvious from the outside isn't even thought of when you're on the inside doing the battle.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you suggest folks get that perspective? Because you're not calling anybody because you don't understand that that's even a decision or an option that's in there.
Yeah, missing the forest for the trees. And that would be the common slogan. We really need to dial that down and understand it. Sometimes having getting advice from somebody outside of your industry, outside of your organization, that will look at it from a macro perspective. Also try and train yourself to always look at things from the macro side. And I wish our politicians would do that more. They tend to look at how do I fix the symptom rather than what is the underlying problem and why this is happening.
Stepping back a little bit is always healthy. And I think for a lot of folks, that includes just stepping outside, walk around the block, just get a little bit away from it, and then come back and maybe the idea is there then for you.
And two other pieces of advice I'd have is don't ever make decisions when you're emotional, and don't ever force yourself to make them quickly.
KINS News. Timely, however. KINS News and Information Times, 319.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. John, the new branch in Arcata, I know that last month when we got together, things were kind of starting to settle a little bit. I would imagine things are starting to get up in the air again as activity is beginning to occur and the reality of this thing is starting to set in.
Well, yeah, we're very excited about what's happening in Arcata. And what we've, just bring people up to speed, we bought a building, Dave Figueredo's building, where he had his video store. He contacted us, said he was going to close the store and asked if we were interested in buying it. So we entered into an escrow with him, an agreement to purchase it. About that time, got into a conversation with Humboldt State University and come to find that there's some need for the museum, and we were able to work out an arrangement where we would swap buildings. It would end up with a net cash flow for the museum. It would give it a permanent residence and allow it to get some grant funding that it can't get now and so forth. So it became a real win-win-win. So we're really excited about that. Of course, now the devil's in the detail, working through all the contracts and the leases and all of that fun stuff. But I got to tell you, the people at HSU have been wonderful. My hat goes off to Roland Richmond and Joyce Lopes, who have worked tirelessly making this thing work. And, of course, they have to work through the chancellor's office down in Southern.
That's what I would think. How much more challenging is it because the school is involved, school, branch of California state government? Has it made it more challenging than what you might have thought it would have been otherwise?
In some ways, more challenging. In other ways, easier. And let me explain. Getting through the lease negotiations is more challenging because we have to deal with, the chancellor's office in Los Angeles. Although, like I said, we're getting great support from the people here, and they really have been wonderful to work with. Better in some ways in that the permit processes go through the school rather than the city. And not that Arcata is difficult to deal with. I haven't dealt with them yet, so I don't know. But that makes it a little easier for us to get things done, hopefully in a timely fashion. But now I've got two buildings to renovate. We'll be renovating the Figueredo's building for the museum, and then we'll turn around and renovate the old museum building, which was the Wells Fargo branch.
So the work crew will know where to go for work for a period of time.
Yes, that is correct.
How extensive is the remodel on either building?
Neither of them are structural, so we're not having to add a lot of walls, and we're not moving any significant roofs or anything like that. So it's mostly cosmetic and bringing things up to date. With the branch renovation, of course, will be all new equipment for a drive-through ATM, a walk-up ATM. The vault's already in there, and that's really cool to see that old vault. So it shouldn't be too bad. It's just a matter of making them look appropriate and ADA compliant. That'd be probably the most expensive piece.
What kind of timeline are you looking at for the opening of the Arcata branch?
I am pushing real hard to get in by this summer. So
let's say November 1, just to be kind of comfy, safe, a little bit realistic.
Yeah, I'm using the September word and trying to get in before that.
2 months after September, okay. How long will it take you to train up your staff, the new hires, either for that branch or backfilling the positions in the other two branches to move in?
Well, we'll probably have 7 to 8 employees in the Arcata branch. Of those, 4 are existing employees that are going to move over, and we won't be backfilling them. So that makes it a much more efficient move for us. We've actually had some of the staff people in place that we wanted for this move for some time now, and they've been doing other things. So we're excited about that. We'll probably, make our hires, the balance of our hires, 30 days prior to opening to bring them up to speed on how we
do things.
But
you're only talking 3 or 4 individuals?
Yeah, 3 or 4 initially, correct.
really tough to hide if you only have three or four new ones.
Yeah. Well, we want to, you know, our culture is very, very important and very unique. And so we want to make sure that we instill that culture and we have the right fit.
Does that culture fit Arcata?
Yes, I believe it would. Yeah, I don't think that's a problem at all. I mean, whether
it's a
you're
good thing we don't have a webcam at this point. Your furrows on your forehead spoke volumes.
I don't know if you're Arcata, McKinleyville, Fortuna, or Eureka, you probably still want to have good customer service. And when you pick up the phone and call the branch, it sure be nice if a human being answered in that branch.
That's a concept. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
May is Mattress Month, and where do more of your friends buy mattresses? Vern's Furniture. Take advantage of competitive pricing on the new Serta iComfort mattresses, the latest in sleep comfort with cool memory foam. Or save up to 50% on closeout mattress models from Englander. Save on Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, and choose 18 months no-interest financing on the mattress set of your choice at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka. Now's the time to buy during Mattress Month at Vern's.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with the bank dude. Are you just checking in on everything, making sure it's okay?
No, I'm just trying to find something for you, but
oh,
yeah, just be that way.
Fine.
I was caught looking at my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that rude? You weren't driving.
I wasn't driving.
So you're in a minority.
I'm a Bluetooth guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you ever want to swerve and scare people who are... We had somebody, we were coming back, up bopping around yesterday, and along S Street, just before the hill, 20-something, in one of those wannabe SUVs, you know, the short ones, not a Jeep with a rag top, but one of those other type size.
Whatever, yeah. Small car.
Texting between his legs as he's driving down S. Ange wanted to throttle him, just go right after, you know, particularly in light of some of the situations that have happened locally in the last little bit from texting and incidents. It's like, yeah. So you're a Bluetoother, huh?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate I have a truck that has Bluetooth in it, and
I'm a screamer.
Yeah.
You just open the window.
Scream.
Yeah.
A red facer.
Yeah. How do you know if the bank is doing its job?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question. We have what we call a dashboard matrix. And on that are specific metrics that we use to define success and failure. And they are not all financial numbers. Most of them are, but we also measure things like customer service levels, whether we're meeting our mission to be a community bank, our leadership effectiveness, we measure that. And so that's all part of that scope. And that's reviewed every month by the board of directors. And if we ever fall below the level in which we, the mark that which we've hit as a minimum, then management has to have a plan of what we're doing to fix it.
One of the things I know that you've harped on over the years and that others seem to in a variety of different businesses is time in lines. I hate lines.
Yes.
Interesting for me that you're in Disneyland.
Yeah.
Where lines control life.
I will not be a happy person waiting in lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have an app for that.
No, I don't.
Yes.
But I'll have to find out about it.
But how do you determine what is a healthy amount of time in a line versus what's too long, what is structural versus what is maybe passing? You know, let's say payday. I'm sure all of a sudden everybody's coming in and you see a lot of activity that you don't see other times during the month. Kind of like commute hours on H and I streets in Eureka. For a half hour, it looks like we're LA, and then we could have a single lane and probably be okay. How do you structure for that? How do you staff for that? How do you allow for that?
Okay, first of all, you've got expectations, and you can manage your customers' expectations to some degree. And so we actually try and manage those expectations to be higher. And there's two reasons for that. One is, you know, everybody enjoys good customer service. And two, if our service is above the level of our competition, then once that becomes your expectation, that becomes your minimum level of required
service. It's a competitive
service,
advantage.
Yeah, then you know, it makes it more difficult for you to leave our bank because you're going to have to wait in line. So the question you posed was, how long is the appropriate wait in line? I believe zero is the appropriate number.
Well, but you're not going to have 25 teller stations.
That's
all
correct. That is the number that the goal. But certainly there are times in which we can't meet it because I know for some reason customers don't come in on an even pace, and so you have moments when you might have 10 or 15 in the lobby, and you're gonna some of them are gonna have to wait a few minutes before they get to a teller. Now, we do a couple of things there. One is we staff more than most banks do.
So structurally, it's designed. Yeah.
Correct. And there's an expense to that, obviously, but we believe it's worth it. Two is we have a mechanism that if we do have a full lobby, that we can get more bodies down there. So there are bodies that are doing other functions that can come
in. Oh, like
a
panic button kind of thing?
Exactly. Bring them up and, come down from upstairs or from the basement. Let's come out and let's get at least those customers who don't need cash back, get their deposits and get them moving it. Because we want to make sure that their experience is very quick and that they're taken care of. Can't always happen, but you certainly want it to happen. One of the other things you can do is if you do have a line, if people are having to wait, acknowledge them. And what I mean by that is I'm helping this customer, you're waiting. Look up. It can be just as much as making eye contact and a nod, saying, yes, I see you, or even saying, I'll be with you as soon as possible.
Hi, Bob, be with you
right.
in a sec.
Yeah. So now you know that you're waiting for somebody and that somebody, is conscious of you and is working towards getting to you as quickly as possible. That makes you feel better. There's nothing worse than waiting in a line in a business. Nobody even acknowledges that you exist, and you have people in the background doing stuff that's not helping clients. And they may have something legitimate to do, but that can be very irritating. So be conscious of that. If you have the type of business that does get lines from time to time, acknowledge these people, let them know, and then thank them for waiting. Don't apologize that they had to wait, but thank them for waiting. It's a positive way to do it, and it makes them feel better. That, hey, you've been patient and wonderful. Thank you very much.
And then address it if you can.
Yeah.
Obviously. So how does that translate to a bottom line? Short lines in a retail setting, okay, maybe you're chosen more often. I mean, if I had a one-on-one, my personal teller, I'm not going to be getting any more paychecks coming in more regularly.
That's correct.
So how do you judge that translates?
It's a balance. And so you need to understand that the level of service in which you set, and it should be just, I'm going to give you the best possible service in the entire world. It is, this is the level of service that I want to give you, because the higher the level, generally the higher the cost. Okay. So why do you give higher service than other institutions or other businesses or your competitors? It's because you're going to get a bigger piece of the market. More people will want to do business with you. So if you offer greater service, you should be getting more business. And if you're not, then you've got to ask yourself some other very important questions of why not.
Which would start with?
Well, it could be that your product is obsolete. It could be that whatever you're vending is and nobody wants.
No wait in lines because there's nobody in there to transact.
Exactly, yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude. Actually, the bank mouse.
Yes, because I'm at Disneyland.
You probably have got... That's right. All of those headgear, all of those wardrobes, they all have John. You've never had the experience of not having your name on one of those things, have you?
Oh, when you go to buy
the
a hat or something?
The spinny racks and all those, yeah.
No, I usually have one. Yeah, there's one. Well, actually, they're usually gone because there's so many Johns around that, you know, it's one of the first ones to go.
Sure. Well, if you see one that might fit, let me know, okay?
Fit your gourd?
Yeah. perhaps not then. John, as you look at some of the different ratios and the times and the modeling that we've talked about for success for what you and the board have determined is successful or not, is there any way to know that you guys aren't full of hot air and you're just going, well, this is what I think, well, this is what I think, and you get 10 or 12 individuals coming up with standards that the rest of the community does not have?
Well, you know what, for us, we're a publicly traded company, so that our audited financials are public information. We give out quarterly releases, which we just put out our quarterly release and had a banner quarter. So it's going very well for us right now. We've also increased our dividend. But all that information is very public, and it's all audited. So there isn't a whole lot of opportunity for us to, even if we wanted to, manipulate earnings or give out false information.
But for a regular...
Besides, I'm jail adverse, and, you know...
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah. Gee, imagine that. As you look at, though, in other businesses, if they do that, we kind of giggled a little bit going into the break about, okay, your waiting time is non-existent because there's nobody there in line. Well, okay, I mean, you can't do this stuff in a vacuum, but there's got to be some kind of a feedback that a regular guy or gal would have. The phone rings three times, and after that, it has to be picked up, or this or that, live people picking up mm-hmm. the phone. Parking lot, condition of this, condition of that. How do you put all these things that are seemingly unrelated, other than to fall under the banner of marketing, and know if the attention and the time and the resources do impact the bottom line or not? Positively.
Yeah. Well, one, repeat customers. Do they come back? You know, of course, assuming you have a business that would be a repeat customer business.
No, okay, other than mortuaries.
Right, yeah. You know, are your customers referring people to you? You know, that's your best source of new business is customers. And asking them is very, very important, you know, for referrals. But you should be, if you provide better service than the others, then your business will increase. It should, at least in comparison to your peers.
I suppose that's the secret of Disneyland. Full
I don't
circle.
Know. Ask me that when I get back.
Yeah. Look for any chip paint. Look for any non-smiling employees. Oh, pardon me, team members.
Team members, yeah.
Yeah. Have fun down there.
Yeah, we'll have a great time.
Yeah, and don't forget to duck on those rides that you need to duck on.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it there. You figure out which ones they are. We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with John Dalby. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. I'll give you a hint. He goes clank, 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 clank. See you tomorrow.